Evening, man, we got to hit it running. Amen. Y'all got to listen fast, and it takes me a while to start preaching fast, but I'll do what I can, okay? Genesis chapter 2, and find your place, stand with me. We'll read our verses again. And boy, we're glad to have some visitors in the Wednesday night service with us tonight. Good to see J.C. and Sheila, the Dentons, I believe it is, back with us. And their daughter, Sabrina, and Mr. Seth's back there with her this evening. We're glad they're here tonight. Well, I thought we was. We're glad they're here tonight. Amen. Let's try that again. Y'all need to wake up. Amen. And we're glad to have visitors in the service this evening. Glad they're here. And I trust you've already made them feel welcome tonight. Genesis in chapter number 2. Am I on here? Amen. It sounded like it was cutting out. Genesis 2, and let's begin reading in verse number. Tell you what, and I hate to even say this, because the last thing we'll be cutting in on Scripture reading, but I got a lot of Scripture to give you tonight. And so for sake of time, look in verse number 8. The Bible said, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the river went out of Eden, the water of the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Let's read verse 16 and 17, where the Bible said, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now, we want to continue our thought this evening. We've been preaching over the last several weeks. I thought it would be one message, and we've only been able to cover one point per time. Now, I could have preached it all, but you couldn't have bared it. And so we're breaking it up, letting the Lord speak to us. And may do a lot of teaching tonight. Sometimes you just got to slow down and just teach and let it sink in and let it take root in our heart. And I don't know how the Lord will do it, but you pray the Lord to give us some wisdom as we preach again or teach tonight on the garden of God. Father, I want to thank you tonight for the word of the Lord. I want to thank you this evening that you're on the throne. I want to thank you tonight, Lord, that we can bow in your presence, and there, Lord, we have confidence, as was reminded in song a moment ago, that you can meet every need, and God, you supply everything that we have need of, Lord, in this life. And Lord, as it relates to living for you, we're glad that you've made a way. And Father, we're thankful this evening that God, you know tonight how to see us through. And God, we take courage in that. And Father, we're excited about that this evening, that our God is able to help us make it through. We know tonight that you said in your word, without you we could do nothing. We believe that, Lord. We've learned that. We've experienced that. And so, Lord, tonight everything within us, Lord, we lean upon you. And Lord, ask that you'd help us even in this service tonight. God, if without you we can do nothing, God, we believe tonight without you we cannot preach. Lord, without you, Lord, this congregation can't receive anything. And so, Lord, I'm asking tonight that you'd be here and God, you'd move in every aspect of the service this evening in the things you want us to know and the things you want us to be reminded of and the things you want us to grasp hold of tonight as a church family. I pray, God, that you do that and, Lord, cause us to learn something tonight that would make us a church more fitting, Lord, the ministry and the work of God in these last days. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. As we've come to this passage of Scripture, we have noted that in Genesis 1 and 2, we find the origin of all things, that God
made the heavens and the earth. That's how the Bible begins. It doesn't give an argument for God. It doesn't debate whether or not God exists or where everything came from. It makes an emphatic statement, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And we believe that tonight by faith. The Bible said in Hebrews 11, by faith, we know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, and God said, and it was so and done just like that God said it. And so we deny evolution. We deny theistic evolution. And you say, preacher, you said that every time you've tried to preach this message. Well, I'm going to say it again. We deny evolution and we deny theistic evolution. We believe God said it, and it was so in 6 little days of creation. And on the 7th day, God rested, just like the account is given in Genesis 1 and 2. In Genesis 1, you'll find that God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And that's exactly how then the Lord done it. And you find when you come to Genesis 2, verses 4 through verse 7, God gives His details on how then that took place. God didn't make man out of gold. He didn't make him out of silver. He reached down in the dust and the mud and the dirt and formed him out of the dust of the ground. And the mist come up out of the earth and watered the dirt. And God took the mold that He made, the form that He had made, and there breathed into His nostrils the breath of life. In verse 7 said, and man became a living soul. A wonderful type and picture even of the new birth, and how that God gives me a spiritual life and salvation and redemption from the grace of God. That's all we are, is dirt balls living in this earth. And God comes to where man is and begins to move in his life and move in his soul. And by the new birth and the Spirit of God, He breathes on that man. And that's what regeneration is. And a man is born again. He receives life from God. Genesis 3, man is plunged into sin. He dies to God. But in regeneration, God gives him a new life and a new birth. He's born again in the family of God. And man is raised up, my friend, and becomes again a living soul. And thank God for God's work in salvation. And we can preach on that tonight. We're interested this evening. Genesis 2:8 tells us at the home for man that God had made for man, that the home for man was found in the place called the Garden of Eden. Now God made everything that is. Every continent, every ocean, every sea, God made it all. God made a specific, special place, and He's going to take the man that He created, that being Adam, and Brother Chris, He's going to put Adam in this place we've read about called the Garden of Eden. Now, the Garden of Eden, you'll find, is referenced on several occasions in the Word of God, and you'll find in Genesis 13:10 and in Isaiah 51 and in verse number 3, and the Garden of Eden is called the Garden of the Lord. And so when we think about the Garden of Eden, it wasn't Adam's garden. It wasn't, my friend, something that bore Adam's name. But it was a place and God put His own name. And God said, when you talk about the Garden of Eden, that's my garden. I'm the one that made it. I'm the one that put the man there. It is the Garden of the Lord. You read in Ezekiel 28:13 and also in Ezekiel 31:8 and that. And this Garden of Eden is called the Garden of God. And again, the idea is this, that God lays claim at what He made in Genesis 2:8 and placed upon this earth as the home for Adam. And my friend, it is something that bore the name of God. And you began to read and study the Word of God, it's referenced as the Garden of the Lord, or the Garden of God, this special place, this unique place, on this place it was unlike anything that God had made in Genesis 1. And my friend, He raised it up and said, it's my garden, and I'm going to let Adam live in it as his hope. And this evening, as we study the Word of God, we find in Song of Solomon in chapter 5 and in verse number 1, at the church in that love story and love picture of Song of Solomon between Christ and His church, and the church is pictured of that of a garden. And the beloved said that he came into his garden, speaking of the one that he loved, speaking that friend of the one he had a relationship with, and that he walked in that garden, and there, my friend, some special things happened in using that garden as a picture of his bride and the relationship that he had. And so we want to use the Garden of Eden, the garden of all gardens in the Word of God, and use it as a picture in the church tonight. And we've already dealt with several of these thoughts this evening. And by the way, let me say again tonight, and thank God in 2014 of all the things that God has made and all the things that God has done, I'm glad that there's still a special place. There's still a place that stands out. There's still a unique place. There is a place that bears the name of God, amen, in the church of the living God tonight. Amen. I'm glad that God has in this day, in this hour, in this dispensation of time. Amen. We know it in realms of studying the Word of God, in the realms of theology, and we're living in the church age, and that is, my friend, the garden of God, a place in God has chose to put His name, a place where God, my friend, has endeavored to move and raise up in an ungodly and a wicked world that man can come and come apart from all the things going on in the world. And my friend, we can walk with God and have fellowship with God and get some things in the garden of God, the church, that you can't find anywhere else. And tonight, we're not talking about the Masonic Temple tonight. I wouldn't be a part of that wicked organization, my friend, for anything in the world. You might as well say amen right there. Amen. We ain't a Mason church. Amen. They're wicked. And if we knew all that really went on this evening, amen, we wouldn't even shake hands with them now. I know there's probably some good folks associated with it and don't know all the depths of it and that, but listen, God didn't choose the Shriners and the Masonic Temple as a means for His commission and His work to be done through tonight. And we don't even believe tonight, amen, God chose the Mickey Mouse Club to get it done. Amen. In this hour, in this time, amen, in a wicked land, God has a garden that He has raised up, amen, and He intends, my friend, for it to be the church of the living God. Now, we already dealt with the planting of the garden. Let me say a word or two for those that have not been here in recent days. You'll notice in the Bible said in verse number 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And the Bible is clear that, and my friend, this garden was something that God planted and something that was orchestrated by God Himself. We note this evening in verse number 8, the representation in the planting. The Bible said, the Lord God planted. I'm interested again in that word, as it literally means to. It literally means to, Brother Dean, to strike, to fix, or to fashion. Amen. A way that this garden, listen, when God made the heaven and the earth, in chapter number 1, He spoke, and what He said came to pass. And in Genesis 2, after God had made the man, He reached down and was going to, my friend, plant a garden. And the way that God did that, the way the garden sprung up, is seen in the word planted. Brother Jordan and that, amen, literally according to that word, what God did, He reached down into the world that He had made, in the dirt that He had spoken existed, down in the grass that He told to grow. And my friend, He struck the word. apparel and fastened something that day, and from there sprang forth the garden of God. Does that not sound like Calvary to you and I this evening? Amen, friend, 2,000 years ago, amen, God reached down in the world that He had made, and He struck it again with an old rugged cross, said, and fixed and fastened His Son there. Amen, friend, we're not here tonight as a church because we're anything. We're not here tonight because we turned a new leaf. And we're not here tonight because we're good people. We're not here tonight because we're the religious elite of our society. Oh no, 2,000 years ago, amen, God planted an old rugged cross. And from the cross tonight, amen, the blood of the Lord Jesus and the grace of God has been shed in a church. Amen, friend, has been brought into being. Amen, not because of us, but because of what God planted in this world. Thank God for Calvary tonight. I'd love to preach right there all over and again this evening. Amen. The fact of the matter is, you don't get in the church, amen, by being baptized and doing good. Amen. We believe in a regenerated church membership. Amen. We don't believe, amen, friend, you can be a heathen and deny God and the Bible and reject Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen, friend, be a part of it. Oh no. That's got us Baptists in trouble in many a year, said. And cause much blood to be shed. Amen. We point back and preach an old rugged cross. Amen. That made the difference. And saves sinners. And changes their life. Amen. And puts you into the family of God. Thank God tonight for the church. Thank God, amen, tonight for Calvary and what the Lord has done in providing the garden of God in this hour and this day. We preached on the responsibility in the planting. You'll notice that according to verse number 8 of Abel, said, let's read it again. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. It's interesting tonight to note again, at the first place the Lord took the man that He had made a living soul. But Jerry didn't take him down to Walmart. He didn't take him down to Dollar General and tell him have a good time. He didn't take him down to a bar room and a dance hall. Amen. The first place that He took it, amen, was down to the garden of God, down there eastward toward Eden. Amen, friend, I believe when God saves a man, amen, the first place He'll take that man, amen, is down to the church. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, man, I'm that sick of my generation, amen, that say we don't need the church. I'm saved. I just don't go to church. How are you going to get around? My friend, that getting out of going to church, amen, when the Bible said that the Lord loved it so much He gave Himself for it. Amen. That's how you got saved, the death of Christ. Thank God, I'm glad when He died that day. He wasn't just dying for the world, and He wasn't just dying for sinners. Thank God, He was dying for the church. Amen. And He intends and expects, amen, every born again child of God, saved by the grace of God, He expects them to fulfill their responsibility to be in church. Hebrews 10:25, still in the King James Bible. Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And by the way, as the manner of some is getting more and more prevalent in our day. Amen. People think, well, I just turned the televangelist off. Amen. I wouldn't watch them bunch of crooks. Amen. I heard one man say to me, amen, somebody said, well, I send my tithes and offerings, I go to church in my living room, and so-and-so's my pastor on the TV. My friend, you call him when you need prayer. And when you're laid up in the hospital, you call him. Amen. Don't call me. Amen. You call him, and when your family needs somebody to come and sit down and counsel you from the Word of God, amen, call him. Amen. Amen. We believe God's desire in the age of grace is when He saves a man and He put him down in the local church. Amen. I heard one preacher say one time, he said, you watch this crowd, it says, give you money to God. God and then gives you their address. Amen. Hey, something wrong with that crowd. Somebody give me a witness. Amen. God wants you to be a part of a local, visible New Testament, self-sustaining, independent, fundamental, premillennial, King James Bible, preaching, thumping, screaming, shouting, praying, praising. Amen. Baptist Church. Amen. You say that's pretty narrow. Well, amen. We believe God, my friend, has chosen His church as the means whereby, amen, we are to fulfill that responsibility of being a part of it. And God put Him there and give Him two responsibilities. He said, you dress it. That speaks of service. It literally means to work or to serve or to labor in. God said, Adam, you're to work and you're to labor and you're to be involved in serving down there in the garden of God. And can I say that's still our responsibility in the church in this hour, is to labor and serve and to be involved. And listen, God didn't save us, put us in Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, amen, to sit around. He saved us, put us in the church and said, now go to work. I'm giving it to you. Now you got to labor and serve and work in this thing. And then He said, not only dress it, but He said in verse 15, amen, dress it and to keep it. The word keep means to guard, to protect, or to attend to. Amen. You see, God knows there's an old serpent called the devil lurking around. And my friend, in a perfect environment before sin and the curse and before the fall of man, amen, God said, Adam, you're still going to have to guard and protect this thing. And can I say, we're not in a perfect world anymore. Living in a sin-filled, sin-cursed world. And my friend, there's still a devil lurking around, still trying to get into the garden, still trying to mess it up, still trying to bring sin in. And can I say, we still have a responsibility, a guard, and to keep the garden God has given us in the church. Amen. That's why we don't let the, amen, the permy hair, little Weasley quartet groups come in. Amen. And I can preach on it because my brother, he's a part of one of them. Amen. I'm telling you, man, I just can't get into that. Can somebody give me a witness tonight? You ain't going to get much better than the Jones family we heard sing tonight. Amen. Something you can understand. Brother Mark wasn't looking Lucas all in the eyes and singing to each other. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad this evening. Thank God. Amen. Listen, we got a responsibility tonight to guard and protect what God has given us. Amen. I could just buckle down, and we did a few Sunday mornings ago, and just preach right there a while on guarding and protecting what God has given us. Got to protect the doctrine of the church. There is such a thing as seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that are creeping into churches across their left. You say, how are we going to combat that? Amen. God has given us a tape and a picture. Amen. Adam, you better keep your eye on the head, Chet. Amen. Don't let the devil get in here and mess up what I've planted and given to you. You got to guard it and protect it and attend to it. Man, we could preach there all night all over again. Somebody say amen. Well, there's the plan in the garden of God, the pleasantness in the garden of God. I'll not re-preach all this, but verse 9, amen, look again in verse 8, if you will. The Bible said that He planted a garden eastward in Eden. A word Eden, the title Eden, literally means pleasantness or a pleasant place. Amen. God didn't put Him in somewhere where there's a bunch of turmoil and a bunch of drama and a bunch of fussing and fighting. He put Him down in a pleasant place. Can I say that's what church ought to be? Amen. There's a bunch of churches going to gather in this evening, and the preacher will be fat and the congregation will be fat and the preacher. Amen. There'll be somebody down on the front row on this side, won't like somebody on the back row on that side. And my friend, there'll be a fussing and a fighting and a squabbling. And my friend, a calling the law to come out and to put that. Listen, there's no room and place for that in the house of God. We're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's what Paul said in Ephesians, over there in Ephesians in chapter number 4. Is that right? Amen. We're to walk together in meekness and lowliness and being long-suffering one to another. Why? Because the house of God's to be a pleasant place.
Amen. Boy, we could preach there. Amen. Verse number 9 said that it was pleasant to the sight. Literally, the word pleasant there means to be desirable, costly, or precious. And God said down at the garden, not only was it pleasant to sight, but it was good for food. And He said it's a pleasant, a good place. And the word good, but Jordan means something, listen, there's something excellent, something lovely, something beautiful, something tonight that is joyful. Is that not what David said in Psalm number 100? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Serve the Lord not with the mully grubs, but with gladness. The church ought to be a joyful place. Amen. I know it's Wednesday night, and sometimes on Wednesday night it's all you can do to get here. I understand that. Sometimes Wednesday night it's all I can do to get here. But I'm going to tell you something. It ought not be the norm, Brother Danny, that we come in chewing on sawbriars. Ain't got a song in her soul. Brother Jerry gets up here and says, amen, let's sing this. Amen, we're going to sing, amen, Amazing Grace. Amen, and we sing like it's the most boring thing we ever heard about. Church ought to be something, my friend, a place filled with joy and excitement. It makes a word good means to be sound or correct or righteous. And can I say, that's exactly what makes a church pleasant. Amen. Listen, you let a bunch of sin and unrighteousness, amen, a bunch of things that are not biblically correct creep in, my friend, you'll lose the pleasantness of the house of God. Boy, I'm not going to preach all this over and again. Lord, help, I'm going to be all night. Let me give this to you this evening. Look with me in verse number 16 and 17 and 8. I'm interested tonight as God puts the man in the garden. Amen, we see the planting of the garden. We see it's in Eden and it's a place of pleasantness. But notice with me tonight the preaching in the garden of God. You say, Brother Jeff, there wasn't no preaching going on in the garden of God. Well, tonight, amen, listen to it again. Look with me in verse number 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, it sounds like there's getting ready to be some preaching going on. And God, I think, maybe pulled a pulpit out. And my friend said, hey, Adam, pull your chair on up. Get on up in this pew made just for you. And maybe God pointed His little bony finger. Amen. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but maybe God pointed His finger in the face of Adam and said, hey, bub, listen up. I got a command for you. And Adam, I love you and I care about you, but I'm going to preach to you a little bit. And here's the message that He preached. He said, of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. If that ain't preaching, I'll eat your dirty socks. What he is doing there with Adam, he's saying, I'm going to preach, I'm going to deliver to you the Word of God. Would you agree with me? Verse 16 and 17, it's the Word of God. It ain't Reader's Digest. It ain't Oprah Winfrey, amen. Amen, it's not Dr. Phil. Amen, it is what thus saith the Lord. And that's what preaching is. Preaching is what thus saith the Lord. Oh, just with me tonight as we work our way down through here this evening. Amen. According to these verses that Adam was confronted, amen, by the declared Word of God in the garden of God. I think we find here a tape of both commanding and demanding preaching of the Scripture that is to take place in the church of the living God. And look on up in here. God did not call a church to be a social club. Listen, most churches tonight are nothing more than a social club with a steeple on the front of the building. Amen. Can I say tonight, and I want to slow down, if the Lord will help me now, amen, God has raised the church up to be a place as the garden of God.
that men can enjoy, and thank God we can enjoy fellowship with our family, fellowship with others, fellowship with God. Amen. But listen, God, in the garden of God, the church of God, has designed it to be a place where you can hear the declared word of God. In our day, do you understand, there ain't a whole lot of commanding and demanding preaching going on. I'm not trying to be mean, but the mentality of the Osteen mentality of our day is, I'm not going to command and demand anything of anybody. I'm just going to be positive. I'm just going to be reassuring. I'm just going to be finger in the wind and find out what way the wind is blowing, because I don't want to upset the apple cart, and I don't want anybody mad at me. Amen. That's exactly right, Brother Jerry. I may lose a little money, and I may lose Mr. Big Shot out of the church, and so I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to get up and be calm and positive and speak to them real softly with my permed up hair and my little limp wrist and my old noodle back that just blows around with every little wind. And tell everybody, just live their best life now. God brought Adam in the garden. He said, listen, there's some commanding I'm getting ready to do. And I'm not just going to command it. I'm going to demand that you live by it. God didn't preach no general sermon to Adam. He said, here it is. And he laid it out. Are you listening to me? Short and sweet and to the point. Amen. I'm a trying to learn how to preach, thank the Lord. Somebody say, amen, I'm not doing a good job. Amen. But he commanded Adam that day. And he demanded of Adam that Adam live by what God had to tell him. Now, say, my friend, anybody can get up, amen, and generally cover sin, and generally, amen, you know we're all bad now, and y'all quit that bad stuff you're doing. And, amen, listen, that ain't how God preached to Adam that day. Adam, amen, God said, Adam, I'm talking about in a perfect environment. He didn't have a sin nature. Adam, at this point in time, didn't have the cursed flesh that you and I have in this hour, in this day, that is so bent and present. Prevalent to sin. And God looked at that man in his innocence and in his state of a perfect environment and said, I'm going to lay the law down. There's some things I'm commanding and there's some things I'm demanding. Can I say, I think we ought to call sin by name. We had a family, and God bless them. I love them in the Lord, and I hope they'll come back, but there's visions some time ago, and you know who I'm talking about. And it's amazing, the son lacked it and the wife lacked it, but the husband, the man, supposed man in the house said, well, that preacher, he's just too direct about sin. Amen. Can I say, I probably ain't direct enough about it. Amen. The fact of the matter is, God wants some things commanded, and God wants some things. I want to know that. I don't want some preacher get up, tell me how good I am. I know I'm wicked to the bone. Ain't a good thing in me. The Apostle Paul said, I know that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You may not be this way. God help you, and I know. Amen. I'm a hard-headed redneck, but I gotta have somebody that'll drop his tie a little bit and scream to the top of his lungs. Amen. And bust me in my spiritual nose, said. Amen. And let me know what God said. I gotta have that. And if you'd be honest, you gotta have that. Amen. The preaching in the garden of God. Let me say this tonight. Amen. I've got to run through this real quickly. Will you bear with me for a minute? I'm not trying to be mean tonight. Amen. And I said I was going to try to teach. I hope I'm teaching you something, but I'm about ready to get worked up. Go with me. You got to follow me real quick now. Go with me. Titus chapter number 1. Titus in chapter number 1. We'll read these things, say a comment or two, and we'll get back to Genesis chapter number chapter number 2, all right? In Titus chapter number 1, the Bible said in verse number 3, Paul is speaking to Titus at court, and he said, but hath, he's speaking of the Lord, look in verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God it cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through, what's this? Preaching. Paul said the way that God has chose to give people His Word, amen, is not through lollygagging around. He ain't chose it, my friend, to be through the sword of the Lord and through revival fairs. He's chose it to be manifested, amen, through preaching. Amen. Watch this with me now. Go back to Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5. You follow as quick as you can now. Acts chapter number 5 and in verse number 42. Notice this with me. The Bible said, and daily in the temple and in every house, he ceased not to teach. Our teaching's important. We gotta have teaching. Man, we gotta learn something. My friend, they wasn't just going around teaching. Amen. They wasn't going around. Watch this now. They weren't just going around and propping up an old bar stool and sitting down with a guitar in their hand and singing a little song. Amen. And making everybody feel good and teach them a little lesson. Amen. And build their intellect. The Bible said that they went about to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. In other words, that early church knew how to roll up their sleeves and lift up their voice and lower down their tab and preach the Word of God. What's my thought there? My thought is this. The early church emphasized the preaching of the Word of God. There ain't a lot of that going on. You can go to these average one-name wonder churches. The Rock, the River, amen, the palm tree, Lord help, amen, there's all sorts of names. I call them one-name wonder churches. My friend, they do a lot of teaching, they do a lot of intellectual thinking and a lot of trying to build the emotions of people. But listen, the early church, if we're going to be a New Testament early church, listen, if we're going to model their ministry, we're going to have to be a preaching ministry. Amen. What y'all got to offer? Preaching. What you got for young people? Preaching. What you got for old people? Preaching. What you got for families? Preaching. What you got for divorced people? Preaching. What do you got? What do you got? What do you got for this crowd? What do you got for people that don't have a right hand? We got preaching. What do you do for people whose left arm's been cut off? We got preaching. We got preaching. And when we've had our fill of that, we got more preaching. Amen. Preaching for every category and people group of Newport, we got preaching for. Listen, we'll eat ice cream, we'll go putt-putt, we'll eat pizza, we'll eat chicken bones, amen. Amen, we'll eat nanner pudding, we'll eat anything. Amen, you put down in front of us, set greens, amen, we ain't eating greens, but our friend, listen, we'll eat and we'll fellowship and have fun. But at the end of the day, we must emphasize the most important thing at Calvary ought to be about is the preaching of the Word of God. I love singing. Nothing gets me stirred up, amen, much in this world like somebody who knows how to sing with the touch of God on it. I love it. It just stirs my soul. But you know what it does? It gets me ready to receive the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. What some churches, even in their fundamental ranks, what they're doing, they're elevating singing above preaching. They'll sing for an hour and then preach for about 10 or 15 minutes. That ain't a New Testament church. In fact, amen, around here we do a lot of singing. We'll sing for about 45 minutes and then we'll preach for about an hour and a half. You know why? Because preaching's at least twice as important as singing is. Preaching's what makes a difference. And so, if we're going to follow the model that the Lord established, my friend, in His earthly ministry at early church, it's going to have to be that we emphasize preaching. Acts chapter number 10, and you'll find that Peter testified. And my friend, not only did they emphasize it, but the reason they emphasized it is that Peter said, we have been commanded to preach. This thing ain't no option. If I belonged to a church that didn't emphasize preaching, I wouldn't even go back to shake the preacher's hand. I wouldn't go back and say bye. I wouldn't go back and wave at them, are you listening? I'd get out of Dodge so quick and get somewhere where they understood that God has given a command about preaching. Am I right? Yeah, I'm right. You know I'm right. Amen. I'm telling you this evening, we've got a command about this thing of preaching the Word of God. Look with me in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 1. You know these verses well. Let's look at them again. 1 Corinthians what? Look what the Bible said in verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased not the world, not the drunkard, not the fornicator, not the one living in sin, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In other words, God has made a choice of all the ways He could have got the gospel to mankind. Brother Stanley, He could have put the gospel in the song of every bird and let them fly around and do nothing but, my friend, deliver the gospel message. But He didn't do it. He could have, my friend, wrote it in the sky with every cloud that passes by and proclaimed the gospel message that Jesus saves. But He didn't do it. What did He do? He chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I say tonight, my friend, it looks foolish. And my friend, even look back with me. In verse number 18 of the same chapter, the Bible said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Here's what I want you to understand. Now that verse, listen now. Lost people think what I'm doing tonight's crazy. But saved people are saying, that's the power of God. I got to have that to make it. It's funny. People come in and they got a lot of religion. They'll come visit, not just our church, but churches like this. They got a lot of religion. And they sit there and they ain't ever been around somebody who got up and preached like the Bible says you're supposed to preach. What I'm doing tonight, lifting up my voice, crying aloud, not sparing, not letting you go, not preaching 15 minutes, But giving you the Word of God, that's what God said to do. He said, cry aloud, spare not. Amen. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. You ain't ever heard no trumpet sound like old Stain. You ain't even heard no trumpet sound like that old hag, Joyce Myers. Amen. You might as well say amen right there. Lord, have mercy. I'm be flipping through the TV, come across her. She scares me to death. That sound ought not be coming out of a woman. Somebody say amen. She got a more manly sounding voice than I do. There's something wrong with that. Well, anyway, I digress off that. We're to preach the Word of God. Everybody all right? Lord, have mercy. I didn't mean to get off on all that. The lost crowd, Miss Mary says, I don't understand all that. Why in the world is he acting like that? The people who've been saved by the cross of the Lord Jesus says, I can't make it without it. Give me more preaching. Preach on. Amen. Deliver it hot and strong and hard. And give me what I need. It's the power of God to my soul and to my family. You know what's kept your family together? Amen. It's been the preaching of the Word of God. As you live it and your spouse lives it and your children live it. Amen. Listen, it's the power of God that will save you in the day of trouble. You know what's got you saved through every trouble and storm and trial? We know it's God, but you know how God has chosen to get you through? It's the power of God that comes from the expounded Word of God. Lost people say,
What in the world? That's foolish. Saved people say, give me all you can bring. You give it to me just like God give it to you, and I'll take it and I'll put it in my life, and it'll be the power of God that gets me through. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm going to preach till 10 o'clock. I ain't even halfway down through this thing tonight. 2 Timothy 4, you ain't got to turn there this evening, but you understand the Apostle Paul was writing to a young preacher boy, amen, that had been saved under his ministry and had been nurtured by Paul and brought up. And Paul's coming down the end in that chapter. Here's what he said. He said, hey boy, preach the word. Preach the word. Don't get up and have a puppet ministry. God didn't call you to, amen, have puppets. He called you to preach the word. He didn't call you to run around, amen, and start this ministry and that ministry. Hey, Timothy, the best thing you can do as you see the coming of the Lord advancing and appearing is stay true to preaching the word of God. He said, preach the word. Verse 2, be instant in season, out of season. That is, preach when you feel like it and preach when you don't. Amen. Now sometimes preachers get sick and they can't preach, but you would be amazed how many times I've got up with, I mean, a splitting headache and preached out of season. Amen. Some of y'all stub your toe and you lay out for three services. Preacher, get a headache. I've been sick for 3 weeks. Amen. Nearly puking my guts out. Don't know what in the world. And the Lord's helped me and touched me, but for 3 weeks, I mean, a gnawing feeling in my stomach, still come preach. Well, preacher, we got a snotty nose. We got a young and got a snotty nose. We all going to stay in tonight and wipe it. Son, I got to get up. Are you listening, Brother Charlie? I got to get up. Amen. Headache, stomach ache, sinus trouble, choking, amen, every 5 minutes trying to preach like God put it in me to preach. Amen. What is that? That's preaching when you feel like it and preaching when you don't. That be instant in season, out of season means you preach it when they want it and you preach it when they don't want it. Amen. Amen. It's amazing, man. I get preaching sometimes, and it's what we've been commanded to. I've had them cross their arms. I've seen them slam their Bible. I've seen them throw it across the pew. I've seen them bring in, man. Amen. I've seen them bring in earplugs while as they're preaching and stick them in there. Amen. And do this right here and try and fall asleep. Amen. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to preach the word anyway. Amen. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Preaching ain't always what people want to hear. Most of the time, churches like this, we like preaching. And we like hard preaching, long as it's on everybody else and not me. Amen. Oh. Now, I'm not preaching on this tonight, and just understand it's an illustration. I don't need no enemies. But there's old Pharisee crowd. Lord, have mercy. Over there in my first church, and they couldn't stand women wearing pants. And I preach against that. If you wear them, Lord, I'll love you. It's just a Bible conviction for me and my family, and we'll love you. I think it's if you're saved and you're growing in the Lord, you ought to get the place where you can be different in this ungodly world. Amen. But this old Pharisee family, they didn't like that women wearing pants, but then they'd go out in these culotte walking short things. I'm sorry, but there ain't no difference. Oh. And they got mad. You know why? Because they didn't mind me preaching on women wearing pants, but when you said something about what they's doing and showed them it ain't no different. So what you do? I just preach on anyway. I get in trouble a lot. There's a lot of things I believe that most independent fundamental Baptists don't believe. Amen. Facebook, MySpace. I ain't got one, and you ever hear Ledbetter's got one, you better come get me, put me in a padded room, I'm going out of my mind. Amen. But you go messing with people, you go messing with people's little hobbies and people's little things they're so addicted to, and it ain't no big deal. If it ain't no big deal, then get rid of it. If it ain't that big a deal, why are you arguing about keeping it? Whoa! Amen. That's what they say. They get on, I preach it, it's a big deal. And they'll say, Brother Gerald, well, it ain't that big a deal. It ain't that, well, if it ain't that big a deal, why can't you just let it go? You know why? Because it is a big deal. I love y'all, Lord, have mercy. This thing has crashed and burned. Preach the word. Be instant in season when they smile and shout and run the Alps. And then when they pout and put a frown on and won't even shake your hand going out the door. I mean, you try to catch them, they'll break your arm off. Amen. Ain't we having a good time tonight? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. And exhort. Well, I can't go hear no negative preaching. Well, Paul said, hey, Timothy, here's what your preaching ministry's to be. Reproving, rebuking. Reproving's negative. Rebuking's real bad negative. And then exhorting, there's your positive. According to what Paul said, preaching's supposed to be two-thirds negative, one-third positive. Well, I just can't go down there. He's too negative. And really, God knows my heart. I try to be positive. I try to find somewhere in every message to be positive. Amen. I try to preach positive messages. I don't know what in the world but Charlie's going on lately, but they ain't one. Since I preach worshiping Satan in the temple of God, it's just been... Amen. Do you know what I found? God knows what you need. God knows what I need. If we get the place, we'll say, Lord, reprove and rebuke and exhort and whatever you have for me. Let the preacher preach the word in season and out of season. If I like it and if I don't like it, let him do through preaching what you desire for him to do in my life. What did he say in 2 Timothy 4 and them verses? You look down in verse number 3 and 4, he said, for the time will come when they will not endure. You know what that means? Put up with. Tolerate. They're not going to put up, tolerate, they're not going to endure sound doctrine. There's coming a time, Brother Ronnie, and I believe we're in them days, where the church, the garden of God, still has a command, still has to be emphasized in preaching. It's still what God has chose to save sinners. It's still the method that God has chosen for the church to perform ministry. But we're coming into an hour and a day where men and women, even sitting in our so-called good, fundamental, strong, straight-laced Baptist churches, are not enduring sound doctrine. He said what they're going to do, verse number 4, he said they're going to heap to themselves. Give us teachers. Give us teachers. We don't want no preaching no more. We don't want nobody getting on my thing. I got it all nailed down. And I say, well, ain't a person in here got it all nailed down, including the man doing the preaching. Somebody said, man, he preaches so hard. Most of the time when I'm preaching the hardest, it's trying to straighten old Ledbetter out. And I figure if I'm guilty of it, somebody in the building's guilty of it too, and you need it. Am I right? Yeah, I'm right. Amen. We don't need no ear tickling. I can't stand some limp-wristed, amen, pat me on the back. Now listen, if God wants to exhort us and we're going to shout it out, praise God for it. But I'm telling you tonight, I know what flesh is made out of, and you are wicked just like me. We need Bible preaching that says, here's the way God said to be, and God's holding you to it. Amen. No ear tickling. Can I show you a verse, man? I'm going to have to make a series out of this point. I want to show you one verse and I'll quit. I'll get back into this. I'll get back into it sometime later. Amen. Lord, y'all are easy to preach to tonight. Go to Isaiah 61. Everybody okay? Lord, have mercy. Isaiah 61. Amen. Verse number 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. In other words, sin has messed up a whole lot of lives. And God has anointed, Isaiah is saying, and it's actually a prophecy that's going to be used to the Lord's ministry, that God has anointed Isaiah for the purpose of going to that crowd that sin has had their way and tell them, hey, you're in trouble. You've got a mess on your hands. Sin has destroyed your life. But God is willing to reach down and pull you up. That's what preaching's supposed to do. Notice, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Listen, the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In other words, God uses anointed, Spirit-anointed preaching. God uses Spirit-anointed preaching to help His people. Watch it now. Here's what happens. Notice what the Bible said, that they could become what? A tree of righteousness, the plant, the planting. Is that what it said, Brother Gerald? The planting. Genesis 2:8. And the Lord God planted. Isaiah said, God called me to be Spirit anointed and preach the Word of God and help God's people so that they could be the tree of righteousness and the planting of the Lord to glorify God. You know why preaching's so important in the church? It lets the church be the garden of God that God intends for it to be. Preaching's God's method to help you and your family so you can be the kind of planting and be the right kind of tree of righteousness and the planting of the Lord that God can be glorified. I've preached way too long. I'm bumping an hour right now. Some of y'all think it's been 2 hours. It's only been one. It's only been one. Mr. Ben, it's only been one. It only feels like two. Can I give it to you real quick? Go back to Genesis 2. I'm done. What kind of preaching was done in the garden of God? Number one, watch this now. It involved sovereign boundaries being marked. You know what God did? God marked some boundaries for Adam. He said, you can do this. You can't do that. Is that what he said? I mean, paraphrase, God said, here's the boundaries. This is what you can do. Here's the boundaries. This is what you cannot do. Can I say that's what preaching is? Preaching marks the sovereign boundaries that God says, yeah, you can do this. You can't do that. Here's where we think preaching. I've heard them say this. I was preaching in a youth meeting one time. I preached a message on the shame of nakedness. And this is a pretty strong message in a youth meeting. I'll not give you all the background, but while I was preaching, they got up and cut the fire alarm on me in the middle of preaching. You say, what'd you do? I kept preaching. Amen. About 5 minutes later, they got it off and realized I wasn't going to quit. Amen. They got mad, some old grown woman got mad what I was preaching, went out and cut the fire alarm on. Amen. Well, when I give invitation, I got there a little late. I didn't realize in that youth meeting there's girls in mini skirts and short shorts and boys in shorts and tank tops flooded the altar trying to get right with God. And one of them young girls went to her pastor's wife in the lunch line and she said, "That preacher preached and I need to go back and change my clothes. I'm not right." And you know what that old hussy told that young one? Said, "Oh, he's just preaching. He's just preaching." You know how wicked that is? Somebody got up and marked some boundaries and said, "This is what God's Word says on the subject." An old wicked woman say, "Oh, he's just preaching." When I'm up here preaching, I ain't just preaching. We're marking some boundaries. Showing the lines. Yeah, you can do this, but you can't do that. That's what Paul said that Thessalonica. He said, "You know what I love about y'all? Why you become an example to every church in Macedonia? Because you received the Word as it was the Word of God, not the Word of men. But as it is indeed the Word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe." In other words, you don't just hear it, let it go in one ear and out the other, and it don't do anything to you. He said, when you heard it, you said, "That's God's Word," and you let it work on you when you got at the house. Preaching involves sovereign boundaries being marked. Hallelujah. Lord, I seen visitors coming in tonight and I thought this ain't a good message to be preaching when you got visitors. But you might as well know where we stand. Sovereign boundaries being marked. Notice with me, number two, it involves serious warnings being magnified. Here's what God said. Here's what you can do. Here's what you can't do. And Adam, if you do what I said don't do, the day you do it, Adam, you're going to be in trouble with me. Can I say that's what preaching ought to be in the church? It ought not be marking sovereign boundaries, but it ought to be magnifying serious warnings. You go doing that, you're going to pay for it. You know what I've learned, and I've not been preaching long. I've been preaching, this month will be 17 years I've been a preaching, the end of this month. And Brother Dean, that ain't a long time, but it's long enough to know this. In almost 13 years total of pastoring, Brother Mark, I've never had somebody come to me and say, "You know what you preached? That was hard, and I put it in my life, and I regret I ever did that. It's destroyed my family. My life's in a mess because I live by what you preach out of that book." I've never heard it. I've never had anybody come and say, "Could I see you in your office? I'm really in a mess. You preached that, and I lived it. I gave it up, or I let it go, or I dealt with it, and I need to talk to you." And come into my office, Sissy, and say, I wish I'd have never lived that. My life's in a mess because I live what you preached." 13 years of preaching. Are y'all listening? God's trying to help us tonight. 13 years of preaching. Junior, that many times somebody's come in my office and said, "What you warned me about, I wish I'd have never listened to. My life's in a mess." 17 years a preacher, I could stand here for the next 3 hours and tell you of people that's come to me and said, "Preacher, can I talk to you? You told me not to do it and I did it, and now my life's just all messed up. Preacher, you said give it up and I just refused to give it up, and now my testimony's ruined and shot because I wouldn't listen." You know what preaching is? Preaching says they some serious warnings to be magnified. Don't do what God said don't do. Number three, notice I think it involves simple choices that were made. God ain't going to force you to do right. You know what I've learned? You know what I've learned as a young man, and I thank God, I think it'll keep me in the ministry. I can't make Gerald Taylor do right. I can't do it. God ain't going to make him do right. I can't make him do right. So what do? I get up and preach, and I say, here's the boundaries. Here's the warnings. Here's the choice. Do you know every time you hear a Bible message, you're making a choice? If it's the right kind of preaching, it brings you to a place, a crossroads, where you got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. When the preacher gets on your little old pet thing, you're making a choice. When you don't, we have invitations. Let me say this for some of the new folk coming. Invitation's a time for you to make a choice. That's why we try to keep our altars filled. In invitation time, it's a time to make a choice. Well, if I go down there, everybody's going to know I got issues. We already know you got issues. Your family has issues. You have issues. But this is a place, through the preaching of the Word of God, where choices can be made. I'll obey God. I'll live in the boundaries. I won't cross them so I don't have to face the warnings. I'll make a choice. I'm going to live for God. You know why Adam messed up in the next chapter? They made the wrong choice about the preaching that he had heard. Am I right? I'm right. Now that's the short version. I had a lot to give you in there. But I think we've done extended our... We've overstayed our welcome. Can I get a witness? Have we learned anything tonight? I'm not even going to give invitation. I'm just going to send this out of here thinking on it. Hey, I love you. And I've learned that thing about making a choice. All I can do is get up here and preach. And I ain't going to cut no corners. I don't cut corners for my own mama. My mama was supposed to be here Sunday. Y'all know how hard I preach Sunday. I knew she was coming. I didn't want her to think I'd become a liberal. Amen. My daddy be here next month. I'm going to find the hardest message I can find to preach when he's here. I don't cut corners from my parents. I don't cut corners from my brothers. I don't cut corners from my sisters. I ain't cutting corners for you. I ain't going to do it. My job's to preach, bring you the place of making the decision. And then when I step out here, we go back here and shake hands. I'll hug everybody's neck. If you don't live it, it's between you and God. Amen. But preaching is serious business. I take serious what God's called me to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Brother Mark, we're 5 minutes to nine. That means I preached. Y'all sang 5 minutes. So that means I preached an hour and 5 minutes. Y'all will forgive me, won't you? All right. I know it's Wednesday night, and I'm trying to do better, but Brother A.L., when you get saying amen over there, it just makes me want to dig in a little bit. All right? When old Jordan smiles like a coon dog, it just makes me know, man, I'm on a trail. Don't let it up. Stay on it. Amen. I love you. I love my church. I am honored to be here. I'm honored these months, and I'm looking forward to the years we have together. And I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful down to the end in preaching the Word of God. I don't want to water it down. I don't want our church to get the place like we do, like so many other churches. You say, preacher, you can't build a church on the kind of preaching that you've preached about tonight. Well, I don't know if that's true or it's not true. I don't know. But I just know it's right. And my job's to build people in the faith. Amen. It's your job to build the church. It's my job to build the people that come in. Amen. And preaching does it. Sheep produce sheep. I'm the under-shepherd. I got to feed you. Got to feed everybody you bring in what God said to feed. And them old sheep, they can't live off honeysuckle all the time. Amen. They got to have a little roughage in their diet. Keep everything mixed up. Amen. Keeps them cleaned out. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I got to finish. Man, Brother Danny, I'm glad you was here tonight. You still love me, don't you? All right. I love y'all. Hey, we're glad the Dentons are here tonight. I want you to shake all their hands. Make sure you let them know that you're glad they're here. Introduce yourself. And y'all tell them how sweet your preacher really is. Okay? Because they probably don't believe it right about now. JC, we're glad you're here, buddy. Amen. Brother Ronnie?
I just got a doctor's appointment tomorrow.
Okay.